We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Got a golf tournament later.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And I don't know if you noticed, got a pretty solid sunburn I'm working on here.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you want me to lift my shirt up.
Let me see your stomach. Did you not use sunscreen?
Not for long enough.
Come on.
Ready?
How old are you? You got a little bit on the side there,
well,
yeah.
Compared to the...
I don't need to see your... okay, don't take your pants off.
I wanted to make you see... You got to see the contrast. You got to see where the white is.
And the show's hit another high point.
I mean, I'm pretty white.
I did see the contrast in skin color. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
I'm coming in with a serious sunburn today, so put this right behind the Jordan flu game. Like, I'm working through
this. You certainly got a cold, too.
Yeah, my vocal cords are sunburned. No, that's not true.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Celebrating Jeremy's 40th birthday. Squeezing in a talk show, too. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We continue searching for some good hockey rumors.
Brooks Orpik retiring.
Local boy done good.
You know, 10 years ago, Michael Jackson stole thunder on my birthday. No, I didn't mean that. Michael Jackson died on my 30th birthday. And on my 40th, Brooks Orpik retires.
Yeah, I don't think he planned to do that.
Played more than 1,000 games, won 2 Stanley Cups. Ready for a really, really picky language thing?
Mm-hmm.
Did he win 2 Stanley Cups, or did he win the Stanley Cup twice?
Technically, it's the latter, but, you know, we let it slide. Because I would have said the same thing. Oh, he won 2 Cups.
2 Cups.
He didn't win them both at the same time.
He won the Cup twice.
On 2 different occasions.
Twice on 2 different occasions?
No.
So that's 4.
No, he won the cup on 2 different... Yeah, right. No, technically you are... We do... yes, you're correct. But it makes my head hurt. So I'm just going to go, he won the Stanley Cup twice. 803-0550 to join us. So we're in search of some good juicy rumors. What's going on around the NHL? RFAs, UFAs, trades. What are the Sabres doing? Wrist aligning. On our Western hotline is Renaud Lavoie, hockey reporter for TVA Sports in Canada, and he's joining us right now. Good morning, Renaud. It's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on with us. I'll throw a Sabres question at you first, Renaud, because you tweeted the other day that coming out of the draft weekend, the Sabres didn't make any trades, but are still apparently looking to trade or trying to trade Rasmus Ristolainen. What are you hearing, if anything, on that front?
Well, not as of today, obviously, because nothing much happened around the league in the last few days. One thing for sure, there's a lot of teams who are looking at July 1st, not only to make some acquisitions via the USA market, but what I believe is we'll see some trades happening probably between now and then, and probably on July 1st. It's kind of a neat deadline, if you want to put it that way. That being said, if it's 100% and you got to be traded, I'm not the GM, so I can't give you that answer. But what I've been told at the end of the draft on Saturday is that the Sabres were really shopping him hard. My understanding is it's more, a player decision that wants to maybe see what's out there for him. So we'll see how it's going to turn out.
You say a player decision. You're saying Ristolainen is motivated to maybe have asked for a trade?
Well, you know what? Nobody told me that he asked for a trade. But from my understanding of the situation is it's not the Sabres who are going to get it. It's more a question of, a fit between the player and the team. And you have to wonder about the fit right now.
If you look at him in the context of what's out there, Renaud, that whether it's the UFA market, guys like Myers and say Gardner are out there, the rumored guys on the trade market, is Rasmus Ristolainen coveted? How do you think he would fit on that market with what's out there for other teams pursuing defensemen right now?
Well, for sure, he's a younger player, right? The fact that he's a younger player is really. It means that the value is a little, maybe a little higher. I know he's not playing at par defensively with the way that he wants to play, and probably with how the team wants him to play. So there's some question marks. One thing with Jake Gardner, you know exactly what you're going to get. Same thing with Tyler Myers. When we're talking about a 24-year-old defenseman right now, it's, you know, I think there's still some upside in his game, but there's still some question marks too. So that's one of the problems right now.
What will the UFA market when it comes to defensemen, so Myers and Gardner, any idea what you think these guys are going to get when they actually can sign on the open market?
Well, that's a great question. You look at Tyler Myers and Jake Gardner, they have the same agent. It's JP Barry. Okay? And I think it helps both players to have the same agent. What I mean by that is, you know, they are two different defensemen, but I believe defensemen, the free agent market, probably the best two available, really. Maybe there are some others that in the top five, but they're there. And so you have Jake Gardner if you're looking for a left-handed power play defenseman. Here you go. There is some question mark in the way he's playing defensively, but teams that they need to improve their power play, I think that's exactly what Jake Gardner can give you. And on Tyler Myers, I've been asked a lot of questions yesterday about him. One thing that people need to realize here is obviously he's not your first power play guy. No doubt about that. More the guy likes to chip in offensively. Basically, he's a big, strong body that's normally plays a lot of minutes. But I've been told about his minutes that he's playing. The thing is, when you're playing in Winnipeg, there was some really good defensemen there too. So I believe that that's a defenseman that can play around maybe 24, 25 minutes per game. Maybe the ideal minutes for him is probably around 22. But that being said, he's going to eat a lot of minutes. He's not going to be a point-per-game type of defenseman, but he's going to make sure that the puck is going to stay out of your net. So you have to wonder what his contract's going to look like. Obviously, people always want to have the maximum in return, and it's totally normal. So he's making 5.5 right now. I expect obviously a higher salary. Could it be around 6.5, 7.5? Can it be close to 8? I don't know. But there is some teams that are going to call for him. First of all, because, like I mentioned, he's so tall. He's taking a lot of room. And, he's reliable. So we'll see how it's going to turn out.
Renaud, the restricted free agent contact period starts tomorrow. So there's been a lot of speculation about offer sheets. Marner's at the top, but there are plenty of other really good candidates. Yeah. As you talk to NHL executives, give us your sense of whether or not, you know, you feel there will actually be offer sheets this year, a sheet or multiple sheets.
Talking to a lot of people, what they're saying is the same thing, okay? If there was one offer sheet to Mitch Marner, there'll be an avalanche of offer sheets after that, okay? Because suddenly other GMs are going to feel a little stronger about themselves. But like an agent told me, I'll believe it the minute I'll see it. Because how many times have you had that discussions over the last 15, 20 years? And how many times it happened? A handful. And every offer sheets were matched. So you have to wonder about, first of all, the value of an offer sheet. Second of all, if a team really wants a player and is ready to make an offer sheet, why don't you call the GM on the other side and try to make a deal? Because I think for the Maple Leafs, they're going to get more in return than four first-round picks. You're going to tell me that those first-round picks, you can easily shop them after that, but are you going to get what you want in return, I wonder. So the fact that they're going to be, that tomorrow is the first day that other teams can talk to RFAs, means to me that there's a deadline today, at least a first deadline. The Maple Leafs needs to find a way today to make a deal with Mitch Marner to make sure that he's not going to talk to other teams. That being said, it's not because he's talking to other teams tomorrow that it's the end of the story for the Maple Leafs. I don't believe that. I think they'll still be in the mix. But right now, it's a kind of a cat-and-mouse game that they're playing, which I don't really understand why they're doing that at this time of the year. I think both sides need to find a way. Because at the end of the day, Mitch Marner, I don't believe he's going to play for another team than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Hmm. One last thing, actually. Let me spin back to the Sabres for a second, Renaud. There was a report that the Sabres have at least reached out to the camp for Joe Pavelski. Assuming he leaves San Jose and has to find a new place to play, he's not coming here, right? This would just not be the – or what other chances the Sabres could actually get Pavelski to listen to their offer?
That's a great question. And it's the same with other teams because when you look at that flyer, I mean, I know he's 35 years old, but he's still a really good player, an amazing player to watch, an amazing person. And for him to leave San Jose will be, I guess, something really hard to do. I'm pretty sure that he's working to make sure that he's going to stay there. We'll see. You have to wonder, too, what's going to happen with Patrick Marleau. Marleau was traded to the Hurricanes. He's not bought out yet. And there's a rumor that if he is by the Hurricanes, he's going to go back to San Jose. And yes, the Sharks are interested. So there's a lot of balls in the air right now, and I'm not 100% convinced that, Pavelski will hit the market. We'll see. We'll see. Some things needs to happen. They're clearing cap space in San Jose. Maybe they'll try to do more in the next few days, but we'll see how it's going to turn out.
Renaud Lavoie with us here, a hockey reporter for TVA Sports in Canada. Renaud, thank you for giving us some time on the show this morning, and enjoy all the stuff that's going to be happening the next few days.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Our pleasure. Yeah, Renaud Lavoie on our Western Hotline. If you joined us a little bit late, off the top, we asked him about Rasmus Ristolainen because Renaud tweeted after the draft that the Sabres were still trying to trade Rasmus Ristolainen. And it was interesting that he said it's his sense from what he's hearing that it is more of a player decision. The whole Ristolainen maybe leaving the Buffalo Sabres, maybe less about the team looking to move him. He stopped short of saying that Ristolainen had formally requested a trade, but again, phrased it as it looks like it's more of a player decision to look into a potentially new spot, which reminded me of something that Paul said. I want to play an old sound clip here from Locker Cleanout Day. Paul was on with us yesterday, and we were talking about, I think it was yesterday, whatever. It's one of the conversations we had with Paul recently about Ristolainen from Locker Cleanout Day, and Paul said that Ristolainen kind of left the door open. And when he was asked about whether or not he wanted to remain a Sabre, here's what Rasmus had to say.
Do you need a change of scenery, or do you want to stay?
Honestly, I know changes will happen, and sometimes you can't control. Like last few years, there's been guys who's leaving, but I feel season ended 2 days ago, and I've only been focusing every day, don't think about the future, and it's too early to say what's going to happen, and you never control what things that could happen, so it's too soon to say anything.
So maybe Rasmus is just, went to management and perhaps said, hey, tired of losing, tired of this, tired of that. Maybe he asked them to look around and see what they could get for him in a trade. I don't know. That remark, when Renaud Lavoie said, seems like it's more of a player decision, I remember hearing Paul in my head going, Rasmus, for the first time ever, seemed open to the idea of not being a Sabre.
Let me step into smokescreen season for a moment.
Yeah.
If you're Jason Botterill, one of the ways to maintain strength while trying to trade a player is saying, he wants this.
Yeah.
Not me.
Us. Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Because of value you're trying to get?
Yeah. I mean, I love this guy. I'm not going to do it. He wants out. So... I'm trying to find out if there's a deal out there that would make sense for us and everybody could walk away happy. But as of right now, I don't have any one of those deals. But just so you know, he's motivated. He's motivated. He just wants to consider a couple options. And I told him I'd do my best to find out what was out there.
Okay.
And I told him if it was right for us, we could do it. I mean, it's the same as Kyle Dubas saying about Mitch Marner, well, we'll do what's right.
We might not necessarily match the sheet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose you can't, as a GM, you never want to be in a position where it gets out publicly that a guy has requested a trade, because then you're not dealing from an area of strength.
Well, even if he has, you don't have to trade him.
True.
So the way to maintain your strength is to say, listen, I don't want to do this. But I could be talked into it because the player has expressed potential interest in it.
Yeah.
And, hey, Gretzky was traded. You know, you drop that on the rival GM on the phone.
Yeah.
On the offer sheet thing, I don't think Marner is going to get offer sheeted. I don't. I'd love it if he did. I think it'd be worth it if he did. But Renaud Lavoie just said everything that I've been saying about one part of this. You just need to open the door.
The one will open
just
up the...
Just open the door and let's move on with our lives and have actual actual NHL player movement and exciting off seasons, because, of course, hypothetical scenario, Marner does get offer sheeted. The Leafs walk away and say, you can have him. It's fine. What should they immediately do?
Spend their first four picks
on somebody.
Right.
Go get Sebastian Aho.
Right, because then
go get,
can spin.
Go get Braden Point, you know? Oh, wow. Tampa doesn't match. What does Tampa do? Let's go offer sheet. So it would be the best thing to happen to the NHL offseason possible. We would... Everything would be on the table. Everything would be open. And that's the way I felt about it. Is it going to happen for Marner? I don't know. Or Aho, or Point, or Rantanen, or, you know, just fill them in. There's a ton.
Oh, I'm looking at Luke Fox while we were talking to Renaud Lavoie. Luke Fox from Sportsnet just tweeted out a column. You know, what's the latest on the top 15 restricted free agents? So everybody, it seems like everybody has been focusing on Marner. But the number one RFA he lists, by the way, is Braden Point. But if you scroll down the list, Sebastian Aho, Mikko Rantanen, although Colorado has $35 million in cap space, Matthew Tkachuk, Timo Meier, we're going to talk about the Sharks in the next segment, what they, Brock Besser is an RFA, Charlie McAvoy. I mean, this is Trouba, right? I think, right, Connor, Kyle Connor, Patrick Laine. I mean, this is just a star-studded list of young talented hockey players.
Right. And if I had it my way, two-thirds of them would get offer sheeted. And it would be standard practice around the league.
Yeah. Kevin LeBanc, San Jose. Target the teams that, you know.
There's a guy. Brayton, how much is Kevin LeBanc going to cost?
I mean, you could offer sheet him for $3.8 to $4 million.
There you go.
That's a second-round pick.
There you go.
He made
$717,000
his cap hit last season. Luke Fox writes, a mid-level offer sheet, say 4.2 on a deal with term, compensation, a second-round pick,
Done. To
put the Sharks in a bind.
Done.
I mean, $4 million is nothing in this day and age.
Right. Yeah, so it's very, very...
Ooh, he's from New York.
It's very important. It's not about the guys at the top.
Yeah.
It's about everybody.
Hey, LeBanc's from Staten Island. You know, that's a short plane trip home from Buffalo. So there are plenty of options out there. And I know you keep thinking this is coming, and I'm going to be with what Renaud Lavoie said, that one agent told him, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, one thing that has changed over the last 20 years is the landscape has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The dollars have changed.
Yeah.
The guys at the top get paid a lot, which means caps are a little bit more stretched.
Yep.
The guys at the bottom get paid less, so you have less room for Kevin LeBanc, right? What do you want to do if you're a GM? Let's keep him in control. We'll give him like $2.5 million this year.
Right.
Nope. Teams are understanding that you are either signing free agents at age 27, or you can use the RFA route at 22. And, you know, draft picks are traded all the time. Nashville just got two in a PK Subban trade. Speaking of which, look at all these teams that are able to clear cap, right?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
right.
Hey, Marlowe cleared the cap. Subban, New Jersey took the whole thing.
Look what Tampa
over
did.
Well, and
Callahan
over
again. Callahan was injured, but yeah, Tampa cleared out, moved out JT Miller.
Dale points out that the Leafs don't have all their firsts, but that, you know, the point I was making.
Right.
You have to use all your firsts.
Right.
If you if you're a team that has all four and someone does it to you, now you have eight,
and you can
just
go use
four of them.
Yeah, because you have now extra ones to compensate for it. So
yep.
we'll see. Like I said, it's not, if it doesn't happen, it's not for lack of talent. There are a number of teams that are, you know, up against it. In terms of the cap, you know, it's a little lower than they anticipated. And I read some comment the other day from one of the GMs that talked about how cap has not been rising, percentage-wise, has not been rising as much in recent years as it had. So there are some teams that are dealing with issues. Washington, Toronto, Tampa, Vegas, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg. There are definitely targets out there if you want to go after some of these guys and offer sheet them and make life difficult for the GMs of those clubs. Whether they do it is another question. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Have you placed your bid yet in the WGR Golf Tournament? The deadline to place your bid is Monday. The tournament's July 8th at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. You can bid on a WGR celebrity. You can bid on some other celebrities, including Danny Gare, Andrew Peters, Brian Duff, Dan Dunleavy. You could even bid on your own. You could buy now or bid on your own foursome. You and three buddies could be up there golfing at our tournament. Again, the bids are there for you at WGR550.com. You will see a link to the golf tournament and the bids at the bottom of our homepage. The WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament is presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, you got to find George Michael singing with Elton John, too, and play
that's
that.
That's what this is.
This is Queen. He did an Elton John song.
I couldn't remember which song. I mistook
because he introduces, and ladies and gentlemen, Sir Elton John. That was a good performance. So you got to find that one, too. You got one more break to find that one. It's pressure's on. We were talking about Renaud Lavoie, about restricted free agents, but UFAs, actually, there are two Sharks in the RFA discussion, Kevin LeBanc and Timo Meier. So the Sharks are one of the teams people are talking about. You know, not a ton of cap space. They've got UFAs. They've got Pavelski. They've got Thornton. Does Marlowe want to go back there? We're going to the Western Hotline, and he is nice enough to join us really early out west. Dan Rosenowski, Sharks play-by-play man since their very first season back in the early 90s, is with us right now on WGR. Dan, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, and thanks for coming on with us bright and early out there.
Oh, no problem. Great to be with you.
I wanted to get you on because there are guys like Nyquist and Donskoy that I'm not sure San Jose can afford, and I'd love to see, you know, if the Sabres can get them. But Pavelski, let me ask about him real quick, Dan, because there was a report that the Sabres have at least reached out to Pavelski's camp. Now, neither one of us thinks Joe Pavelski would, no offense to Buffalo, would want to play here. He's going to want to go someplace he can win a cup. Could you put in a good word with Joe about Buffalo by any chance?
I don't think I'll be involved in any of those discussions. They call that tampering, I think. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what, he really is going to get, obviously, a lot of interest in this little period between now and when official unrestricted free agency begins, the time that teams can actually talk. And obviously that's his right to do, and we'll just see how it all plays out. I think everything that he's indicated is that he wants to stay with the Sharks, and that's not a surprise to us either.
How does San Jose, so they get Carlson, with that and all these guys, who do you think are the priorities to keep? How do they make all this work on those priorities?
Well, obviously it's important to keep the young players on your team that you know are going to be part of your club for a long time. Those are the people you've developed. People like Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc really come to mind. The advantage that the Sharks have is that they're restricted free agents, so retaining their services at least will be possible. As to what dollar figure that is, that's a different issue. But on the Pavelski side, obviously, that's an unrestricted free agency situation. Same thing for defenseman Tim Head and Jonas Donskoy and also Gus Nyquist. So it's pretty obvious to everybody here that not all of those players are going to be coming back, and I think you wisely pointed out the ones that probably aren't. But I think that they feel that they can put this together in such a way that it works for everybody, because we've got something special going on with the culture in San Jose and something that players really want to be part of. and certainly they've been so close to winning the Stanley Cup. I really honestly believe, had the Sharks been a little bit healthier, they easily could have beaten the St. Louis Blues, and if they had, they probably would have been running around with the cup right now. So it's one of those situations where you've got a team where it's in a great place to live. Players want to be in that culture that really is an entrepreneurial one. That's the way I would describe it. And then the other part of it is that these guys want to finish the job they started.
So, you know, we mentioned a couple of UFA names that I think, sure, by cap and just you can't keep everybody, would be in the discussion here. And we're interested in the Sabres here trying to get some guys to help their offense. So I wanted to get your thoughts on both Gustav Nyquist and Jonas Donskoy. I mean, Nyquist to a much lesser extent because of his time was in Detroit. But so let's start with Donskoy and tell me about the strengths and what you think of his game.
Well, you know what? I really like Jonas Donskoy. I think he's a player that has a great attitude, first of all. He comes to work every day. He's a popular guy with his teammates. Those are all important characteristics. But he's got what I call the sisu. You know, that's the word that they use in Finnish when it comes down to the toughest moments in life and you reach inside whatever is in your personality and you drag something out, that little extra bit of energy. I suppose that the other analogy would be you've got this old tube of toothpaste, you don't think there's anything left, and you squeeze a little bit and something comes out to fill up your toothpaste. We've done that a million times, and he is able to do that at those critical moments. You know, he had an overtime goal in the Stanley Cup final against Pittsburgh in 2016. But last season was a tough year for him because he went through just a lengthy period without scoring any goals. And obviously that's what he wants to do. So he really struggled offensively. And that's something that probably made it a little bit easier to put him into the situation where he is now, where he might want to find a better solution somewhere else because he saw his ice time curtailed a little bit. At times during the season, but for the most part, he was really reliable on both ends of the rink, and he was getting his chances. So I just think it was a spate of bad luck. He went from January 10th until the end of the season without scoring a goal, and yet he had so many great chances. So it was a frustrating second half of the year for him. But I'd say that he's got that sisu, he's got that work ethic, and he's a guy that's good to have around your team.
Yeah, I was curious, you mentioned opportunities and, you know, maybe getting a better opportunity somewhere else. You look at his numbers, Dan, you see, 10 to 15 goals, 30, 35-ish points, and you mentioned ice time, it went down about a minute and a half a game last year. Do you think he has the offensive ability or the overall ability to flourish in a larger role? Like, I mean, he didn't have to be have a big role in San Jose because of all the guys on the roster. Could he flourish going to a team where they'd ask him to take on a larger role?
Yeah, I think it's possible he could do that. In fact, for much of his time here, he was in the top six groups, so he was getting those opportunities to play. He has a really long stick. That's interesting. Some people say that he should shorten it a little bit, but other people say that it gives him an advantage to reach the puck when other people don't expect him to do that. And he's got if you've ever seen him in a shootout, in individual skills, he's got the ability to score. He's got some great moves. So, no, he's someone that's a fine player.
Okay. And again, you didn't have a lot of time watching Nyquist. You spent, a handful of games in San Jose, but could you give us your thoughts on what you saw from him?
I like him too. He's a cerebral player. He's somebody that obviously needs a little bit of time to adjust to clubs. That's probably a disadvantage when he came to this team because he came at the deadline to the end of the season. But he fit in well, and personally, he'll do that. He's a great guy, somebody that that I think makes plays with intelligence. That's the way I describe him. He seems to be a good positional player. He can skate well. And he's got nice tools to go along with that. I would say that in his area, again, it's his intelligence, it's his hockey IQ that comes to the fore when it comes to making decisions on the ice at high speed. That's one of his strengths.
And Dan, the other thing I want to ask you about for sure with the RFA guys, and with their cap situation and with Pavelski and Thornton, and who knows if Marlowe's bought out, maybe he wants to go back to San Jose. With Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc, could you, again, talk a little bit about their value respectively, and who knows if there's an offer sheet or not, but it seems like San Jose would be a team you might want to attack because of the cap and because there are two talented young players who are out there potentially.
Now, be careful of what you wish for. You attack and you get attacked later. That's usually what happens, and one of the reasons why you don't see very many offer sheets thrown out there. But I'd say that Timo Meier is just becoming a quintessential power forward. He's scored 30 goals this year. He plays in all big situations, and he's just a really great human being, a very mature guy for someone that's in his early 20s. You know, as far as Kevin LeBanc is concerned, he's a sniper. He really has a great shot. Just go back to Game 7 against Vegas when he put the Sharks in front with that famous fourth power play goal and that major penalty. That just goes to show you what kind of a nose for the net he's got. He's probably the most improved player on the Sharks this year, if you had to pick somebody. And that's the benefit of working next to Joe Thornton all season long and learning how the big guy works and how he approaches the game and the little things that he's done to get a 20-year Hall of Fame career. So I think he's benefited a lot from that experience and around some of the other veterans on the Sharks. And he's really taken that work ethic to heart and improved his game. So he still can be a little bit inconsistent defensively at times, but boy, he's reduced that inconsistency a great deal because of all of the work and because he's following people like Thornton and Pavelski and Burns and all those other guys that put that extra time in each and every day on the Sharks. And that just gets back to the culture that the Sharks have.
Final thing, is Thornton back?
That's what we hear, and they're going to find room for him too, which obviously is something that will make Doug Wilson a sorcerer because he can get everybody signed. But he believes he can, and I think if anybody can do it, if anybody can make it all work, it's the general manager of the Sharks. He's been doing that for many years.
Well, we'll see what happens with all these moving pieces. Again, Dan, thanks for getting up early out west and coming on with us this morning. Enjoy your off season.
Well, I'm enjoying my cup of coffee here, and always nice to talk to my friends in Buffalo. So I look forward to doing that in the future. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you. That is Dan Rozenowski. He's been calling Sharks games since the first year of their existence, the 91-92 season, joining us on the Western Hotline. On Meyer, real quick on Meyer and the potential of an offer sheet, Rory Boylan has just put up an article at Sportsnet about, so we mentioned Luke Fox had the top 15 RFAs.
Okay.
Boylan has the next five, like maybe a next tier of RFAs you might want to, you know, go after an offer sheet on. It wouldn't cost you as much as the Marners and the Points of the world and Ranton and so forth. He points out, you know, Kevin LeBanc, Timo Meier on that list. And with Meyer, there's, let's see, there was a tweet here that said from Kevin Kurz, who covers the Sharks. He tweeted last week, what if a team offers Timo Meier 6 years, $40 million, and the Sharks are only at 2 years, $10 million?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how far the Sharks want to go. According to Evolving Wild's contract predictions, they have Meyer coming in at 5.7 on a six-year deal. So we'll see.
Giddy up.
Would a team go a little bit above that and go maybe triple what San Jose would like to do with Timo Meyer's annual average?
And that's where, well, the Sabres don't have the compensation to do a $6 million sheet.
It would be first, second, third, right? I think for over 6.5, I guess, is what they're putting here.
Right.
First, second,
so
third.
So what you could do as the Sabres is say, listen, if you're afraid of him getting sheeted,
trade us.
You see the compensation.
Yeah.
Here's our offer.
Yeah,
and can they beat the compensation package?
Then
the Sabres get him, and if somebody tries to offer sheet him from the Sabres, they can just match it.
It's Trouba. Right? The Rangers traded for Trouba's rights. He's an RFA. And someone suggested that with Marner. Would someone call the Leafs and say, let's just work out a trade for his rights? You know, if you don't think you're going to match a crazy offer for Mitch Marner, right, why don't you trade us his rights?
Quick thing from Niagara Hockey. Noah Delmas is going to go to Carolina Hurricanes development camp. Defenseman for Niagara.
Oh, okay.
Last year, I think he's been there for two seasons. He's good. He's been good since the day he showed up. Puck moving defenseman.
So not drafted. He just
drafted. Going to development camp.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I'm trying to find Atlantic Hockey stats, but their website is notoriously not too great at that. He might have led the conference in points for defenseman. He's definitely a good player, and good for him getting a look at Carolina development camp.
Speaking of development camp, the Sabres will start theirs tomorrow. Still waiting on the roster. I would assume it'll come out shortly. The Sabres tweeted out a few different things. One, Dylan Cousins and Ryan Johnson will meet the media this morning, and Brayton's actually going to be covering that for us this morning at 11 o'clock. And those two first-round picks will also be on the Instigators today. Their show starts at 10. And again, the full schedule, I guess, is coming out at noon today. Then we'll await the development camp rosters because the first practice is tomorrow afternoon.
He had 40 points in 41 games.
That's good.
15 goals as a defenseman, 25 assists. Yeah,
very productive.
Sorry, wanted to follow up because I did find it.
So their site's a little better than the NHL website.
No, I had to go to eliteprospects.com.
Okay. So you did okay, that's not good. But you didn't have to play around
I found
the Atlantic hockey
site. Got what I needed.
Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators talking plenty of hockey with you at the top of the hour on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
There you go. Good job. George Michael and Elton.
Yeah,
John. Very nice.
Oh, I know it.
Happy 40th birthday. By the way, not your birth date, but your birth year.
1979.
Two significant births that year, if you will, so to speak, not human beings. ESPN launched in 1979.
Yeah.
And Sony introduced something called the Walkman.
Hmm.
1979. So your year was a big year.
Yeah.
You know, that those are two big... I had a Walkman, by the way. Probably still have it buried somewhere. Two other things real quick. Forgot to mention one of the NHL rumors out there. Artemi Panarin. You know, a lot of talk about Florida, but Adrian Dater of Colorado Hockey Now.
Islanders?
Avalanche. Met with Panarin's agent Sunday and, quote, pitched a significant interest in the winger. Colorado has $35 million in cap space. Now, Ranton's an RFA, but they have tons of cap space. So apparently they have significant interest in Artemi Panarin. Blue Jackets are still trying to sign some or all of Panarin, Bobrovsky, and Matt Duchene. Also, there was a rumor that Dmitry Kulikov was going to be bought out. The Jets GM shot that one down. In case you were interested in bringing Kulikov back for a second stint with the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay.
And one other note, too. NBA free agency starts July 1st. The Warriors this week will be having conversations with both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. Durant is expected to opt out of the final year of his contract. Klay Thompson is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So we'll see where that all takes us, and Durant and Kyrie Irving, and do they package themselves to a deal for somewhere? We'll see. NBA free agency starts Sunday night at 12:01, as does NHL free agency, I believe.
And
tonight at 12:01, are you going to be up at 12:01 checking Twitter for any RFA rumors?
No, I was just going to say, if the NHL lets me down on the RFA offer sheet route, the NBA will have them, as they do every year. There are always offer sheets in the NBA. They exist in the NFL, all over the place.
12:01 this morning is when the contact period opens up, so you could be on the phone with an agent for an RFA just after midnight tonight.
Well, if Marner's camp wants to play this the right way, tomorrow morning we have a strong Marner rumor.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Or Point. I'll take Point. I'll take anybody.
I mean if you want to threaten the Leafs here.
Yeah, right.
Last minute of play in
the
show.
Real quick, the whole thing when Dan Rozanowski said one of the things with offer sheets, you attack us, we'll attack you. Couldn't you, in theory, let's say Botchel's worried about someone offer-sheeting Darlene down the road. With any of your RFAs, you can be proactive, right? You can go out and get an extension with these guys before they even get to the RFA.
You can sign them a full year before if they're open to it, and if they're not, you just manage your roster appropriately to handle it.
So you can always...
You've got a salary cap to worry about and deal with. You figure it out.
Right, and you hold off. You don't worry about the attack on your team if it's a retaliation move. Instigators are coming up next day. If you see Jeremy today, make sure you wish him a very happy birthday. Back tomorrow morning at 6. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.